Try bringing awareness to how you end your meditations. Whether they are lying down, sitting, standing, or walking, zero in on who ends it, how it ends, when it ends, and why. Don't judge it or yourself in any way. Just observe and stay in touch with the transition from one thing to the next. How long to practice? Question, Dr. Kabat-Zinn, how long should I meditate? Answer, how should I know? It keeps coming up, this question of how long to meditate. We felt from the beginning of our work using meditation with patients in the hospital that it would be important for them to be exposed right from the start to relatively extended periods of practice. Since we believed strongly in the principle that if you ask a lot of people or ask them to ask a lot of themselves, then you will get a lot, whereas if you ask only a little, the most you are likely to get is a little, we went with 45 minutes as the basic required practice time at home every day. 45 minutes seemed long enough to settle into stillness and sustained attending from moment to moment, and perhaps to experience at least tastes of a deepening relaxation and sense of well-being. It also seemed long enough to allow for ample opportunity to engage the more challenging mind states that we ordinarily hope to avoid because they take over our lives and severely tax, when they don't overwhelm completely, our ability to remain calm and mindful. The usual suspects, of course, are boredom, impatience, frustration, fear, anxiety, which would include worrying about all the things you might be accomplishing if you weren't wasting time meditating, fantasy, memories, anger, pain, fatigue, and grief. It turned out to be a good intuition. Most of the people coming through our clinic have willingly made the almost never easy adjustments in the day-to-day conduct of their lives to practice daily for 45 minutes at a stretch, at least over a period of 8 weeks. If your life is in perpetual crisis, or you find yourself immersed in social and economic chaos, you may have trouble finding the psychic energy to meditate for extended periods, even if you have the time. Something always seems to come up to get in the way, especially if you're thinking you have to have a 45-minute clearing in your day even to get started. For those seeking balance in their lives, a certain flexibility of approach is not only helpful, it is essential. It's important to know that meditation has little to do with clock time. 5 minutes of formal practice can be as profound or more so than 45 minutes. The sincerity of your effort matters far more than elapsed time, since we are really talking about stepping out of minutes and hours and into moments which are truly dimensionless and therefore infinite. So if you have some motivation to practice even a little, that's what's important. Mindfulness needs to be kindled and nurtured, protected from the winds of a busy life or a restless and tormented mind, just as a small flame needs to be sheltered from strong gusts of air. If you can only manage 5 minutes or even 1 minute of mindfulness at first, that's truly wonderful. It means you have already remembered the value of stopping, of shifting even momentarily from doing to being. If you think about it for a moment, few of us, no matter what we do or what situation we find ourselves in, would be unable to free up 1 or 2 15-minute blocks of time out of 24 hours, and if not 15, then 10 or 5. Recall that in a line 6 inches long, there are an infinite number of points, and in a line 1 inch long, there are just as many. Well then, how many moments are there in 15 minutes? Or 5, or 10, or 45. It turns out we have plenty of time if we are willing to hold any moments at all in awareness. Forming the intention to practice and then seizing a moment, any moment, and encouraging it fully in your inward and outward posture lies at the core of mindfulness. Long and short periods of practice are both good, but long may never flourish if your frustration and the obstacles in your path loom too large. Try sitting for varying lengths of clock time. See how it affects your practice. Does your concentration lapse as you sit longer? Do you get hung up in how much longer you have to be present? Does impatience come up at some point? Does the mind get reactive or obsessive? Is there restlessness, anxiety, boredom, time pressure, sleepiness, dullness? If you are new to meditation, are you finding yourself saying, "This is stupid," or "Am I doing it right?" Or "Is this all I'm supposed to be feeling?" Do these feelings start right away, or do they only come up after a while? Can you see them as mind states? Can you observe them without judging them or yourself for even brief periods? If you put the welcome mat out for them and investigate their qualities and let them be, you may learn a lot about what is strong and unwavering in yourself, and what is strong in you may become even stronger as you nourish inner stability and calmness. A What Is My Way meditation. The people of Maine are known for saying, quote, "You can't get there from here," when asked for directions. In terms of life directions, perhaps it's truer to say, "You can only get there if you are fully here." How many of us are aware of this little twist in the fabric of fate? How would we know what our way is if we could have it? Would getting our way solve anything at all? Or would it only make more of a mess of our lives were it possible to realize our wishes on impulse out of our so frequently mindless states of mind? The truly interesting question here is, what exactly is my way, meaning my way with a capital W? Rarely do we contemplate our life with this degree of probing. How frequently do we linger in such basic questions as, who am I? Where am I going? What path am I on? Is this the right direction for me? If I could choose a path now, in which direction would I head? What is my yearning, my path? What do I truly love? Contemplating the question, what is my way, is an excellent element to inject into our meditation practice. We don't have to come up with answers, nor think that there has to be one particular answer. The intention here is to remain open to not knowing, perhaps allowing yourself to come to the point of admitting, "I don't know," and then experimenting with relaxing a bit into this not knowing instead of condemning yourself for it. After all, in this moment, it may be an accurate statement of how things are for you. This is a good way to find the path that lies closest to your heart. After all, the journey is one of heroic proportions, but so much more so if enlivened by wakefulness and a commitment to adventurous inquiry. Can we be in touch with our own life unfolding? Can we rise to the occasion of our own humanity? Can we take on the challenges we meet, even seeking them out to test ourselves, to grow, to act in a principled way, to be true to ourselves, to find our own way, and ultimately not only to have it, but more importantly, live it? Thank you.